Blog Talk Radio.
They was taken with lies, CPS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids was kidnapped, it was all for the cash, a foster kid, childbirth, man, this shit is all bad. My kids was kidnapped, it was all for the cash, my kids was kidnapped, it was all for the cash, my kids was kidnapped, they was taken with lies.
It started with the way I looked, progressed to how I carried it. They couldn't stand a man like me could understand what marriage is. Provided for my wife and kids the way that I inherited. Mama raised a man who don't know nothing but etiquette. How can they just come and take what's mine and I ain't caught a check? Never had a GPS, still my life is stripped away. Fighting for my right to parent cause I got passion for my faith. See through all your bullshit, I might be the one you love to hate. Fuck you motherfuckers, I'll be lying, taking people's shit. Breaking up a happy home cause y'all don't like the way. Long as we provide no abuse, then y'all should mind your business. We're fucking up our rights to live, you motherfuckers, no business. Tired, I can take your motherfucker, I'm a bear with all. Lawyer, they appointed me, never even took my call. They falsified my court string, flat out lying at it all. All this shit is covered for, but they ain't gotta follow law.
Kidnapped, they was taken with lies. DTS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids were kidnapped. It was all for the cash, of course the kid, childbirth, man, this shit is all bad, my kids was kidnapped, they was taken with lies, CBS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives, my kids was kidnapped, it was all for the cash, of course the kid, childbirth, man, this shit is all bad, my kids was kidnapped, they was taken with lies, CBS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives, my kids was kidnapped. It was all for the cash, of course the kid, child ring, man, this shit is all bad, my kids is getting mad.
Come on, tell me, do y'all feel my pain? Watch my wife cry herself to sleep, and I can't do a thing. On the verge of losing it, swear I'm about to go insane. Praying that I have the strength to make it through another day. Can't begin to understand all the shit my kids go through. The pain they feel or what they think for real is all they've been through. Snatch away, waiting for me, broke me when I heard the news. Rotting in a prison cell, shit that I ain't even knew. The fight is real, we won't stop, but all the kids is coming home. Playing games so they ain't know the game, I'm with the king of thrones. Lawyered up, got a pitiful picture, now this shit is on. Need to take my family back and trust me, we don't stand alone. If she is for everyone, go with what we're going through. Be a voice for all of y'all, the pain I feel, I feel it too. This is for the conversation, pushing hard to make it new. All the pretty yards, all the hope, damn the choice for you, kid, yeah.
You know, I ain't the only one that's going through this shit. There's a million other people like me in every city, every state. All across this fucking nation. These people are kidnapping our kids. This foster care shit. Man, motherfuckers need to get it together and go up against this shit before it's too late. If it can happen to me, it can happen to you. You guys probably know somebody that's going through this shit, man. Y'all gotta stick together. If we stand together, we can end all this bullshit, man. I'm telling you. Kidnap.
Welcome to the Rocky and Bullwinkle Show with Chaco the Mighty Chihuahua. Today we are here with Jeremiah, who's playing Jeremiah today, is Lenita Keith, and we've got Kermit the Frog by Tyler Gurney and Chaco the Mighty Chihuahua by Ashraf Haroon. So I'll be doing the proxy answer. Kermit will be doing the devil's advocate opposition, and Jeremiah, who is essentially playing the role of the attorney in fact, or also playing the role of the judge, who is the sovereign in that particular situation, the sovereign person. So, are you there, Lenita? And
yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we would like. I'd like to use code names because, you know, I'd like to keep the confidentiality here. And the rules are very well defined in the legal research, so anybody who has a copy of the legal research would understand who Jeremiah is and what it would mean to become a Jeremiah in your case. So you're there, Lenita?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you're comfortable doing the judge's view and the attorney in fact?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And here's the thing. It's the first time you've done this, and you're learning, you know, you're coming on, you're helping to, you know, market the new cases that are coming in, and we've gotten probably two or three you know, people who are interested. And what we're trying to do is, you know, spend time to train each person. I think this show could help to train someone to, you know, operate in the Roger Rabbit case. Roger Rabbit, okay? I don't think we have not brought Roger Rabbit on the show at all prior. I've been working with Roger Rabbit for a couple of years. He has had attorneys, and he is now getting ready to substitute out, and he's ready to go make the leap of faith to present his cause of action as a pro se litigant. So he's going to be what you would call in preparia persona, in pro per. And it's a scary thing. I mean, wouldn't you agree, Jeremiah, that it's a scary thing to go? You have an attorney now in your case, Jeremiah, right?
Yes.
Okay, and you're now representing Roger Rabbit, and he's concerned. Now, Roger Rabbit is going to be his own Jeremiah in his case in White Plains, New York, right? And Roger Rabbit is concerned because the district attorney, the bear, is the district attorney, right? And there is the princess. The princess is the sister, the evil sister, right? I mean, she has done some horrible things to her sibling, follow? And is attempting to put her sibling in jail for money. I mean, it's a money issue, so I'm just explaining the situation to you, Jeremiah. And Kermit, who is the devil's advocate, is going to provide some devil's advocate opposition. So if he hears something that he feels, well, is weak, you know, he's going to have to chime in. Like prior to the show, you know, Kermit told me, well, there's a real issue of emotional capacity. You know, he doesn't feel comfortable. He doesn't feel like he's ready. He feels like he's at the edge of a cliff, right?
Yes, he feels like
at the edge of a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're jumping off, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's what he feels a substitution of attorney. You know, he's got an attorney, and he's going to sub his attorney out. Well, when he subs his attorney out, he's got no one. No one. I mean, it's him and a judge. He's going to be arguing his case in front of a judge. And he's been arguing his case in front of a judge. I mean, there's 20 cases associated with this case. This particular case has tons of case numbers that are associated with it. There have been lots of attorneys who have jumped in. And the estate is over $1 million. So we're talking about an estate that has money. And everybody is in there, you know, siphoning out as much money as they can from the estate. That's what happens. I mean, so let me explain to you, Jeremiah, what happened in this case so you can, you know, officiate the cause of action, okay?
Okay.
Roger Rabbit took his mother out of a Alzheimer's facility. She was in a locked Alzheimer's facility, and he took her out. But he had a jury verdict, and there was never any need to deem her have a lack of capacity. As a matter of fact, I can tell you that the jury verdict prior to the incident clearly showed that Roger Rabbit had capacity and standing to take the mother out of the facility. He contacted the facility. He gave them all the information. He went in. He said hello to the owner of the facility, told him that he was going to take the mother. It was known he was going to take the mother. And in addition to this, the marketing manager at the facility, who's about 6'5", 225 pounds, big guy, waved as the mother and Roger Rabbit and a 30-year police officer. Roger Rabbit was a fireman for 30 years, and his friend, who was taking the mother out, plus another person, who are all charged now, all charged independently by the bear and the princess.
Were there. The bear and the princess?
And one of them was a police officer, a 30-year veteran police officer, retired. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
Question, please. Any question?
No, I got it. You repeated it for me.
Okay, good. All right. So, a 30-year police veteran, Roger Rabbit, and a personal friend who are a testamentary. But the thing is, here's the problem. The 30-year police officer who was retired is a honey friend. And he basically became a confidential informant for the bear and the princess in return for being let go. You follow? But the other friend did not turn. One friend turned, another friend didn't. You follow?
No, repeat it again. He was controlling informant for...
There were three people that walked into the incident, right? The incident was taking the mother. The incident was taking the mother out of the facility. So I'm just explaining bits and pieces. When he took the mother out of the facility, you know what?
Yeah, you're starting to cut out.
Yeah, it looks like it's set for only, I don't know. I think it's going to end real quick. Only 1 minute left on the stream. I think we can just keep going. Anyway, I think it's going to end, but I think we can keep going. We can go for 2 hours.
Okay.
It will continue to go. So the point being this, that Roger Rabbit had capacity to take his mother out of the facility at the incident. Now, the incident was reported by the bear, who's the district attorney investigator, as kidnapping. You know, he went out of state, and they hunted him down like a dog. They basically went after him like he's a convicted murderer, killer. They stated that he was armed and dangerous. He's not armed and dangerous. He's just, you know, he's just a regular person. It's absolutely insane to think that Roger Rabbit was armed and dangerous. He's taking care of his mother, that's all. Now, he had full authority. There was no concept of why they would have all this issue. You know what it was, Jeremiah? It was, I believe, when you look at the evidence, and I believe when we go through this, and you'll be the judge's view, I think I will be able to view, as the proxy answer, I will be able to establish a cause of action for entrapment. I think I'll be able to establish a cause of action for entrapment to you and a Brady disclosure violation and parallel construction. And I also believe there was willful suppression. All of I can prove. I have sufficient tons of contaminated honey, right? The contaminated honey is like 20,000 pages. In a case like this, with a trust and accounting and guardianship, and then there's a guardian and another guardian and a lawyer for the guardian, and then there's a lawyer for the first guardian, and then there's a fiduciary, and then, I mean, it's just, it's absolute insanity. And everybody's charging $300 to $400 an hour, and, you know, they get together, you know, for lunch, and they, you know, they bill $2,000. And they charge it. They're charging $10,000 a month. It's very typical. All I'm saying is that in a case like this, Jeremiah, that you're going to have about 20,000 pages. I'm not going to prove it to you through the 20,000 pages, but by taking maybe 5 yellow marbles, you know, I could convert the 20,000 pages into 5 yellow marbles and 1 red marble. Now, I can pick the 5 yellow marbles as the proxy answer. So I can give to the devil's advocate what I would believe is 1 red marble, the devil's advocate opposition. Now, if he accepts it, if he accepts the, you know, the red marble, then I believe that we can tell the whole story on the basis of, and in this case, the red marble is the jury verdict. You know, at the time of the incident when he took the mother, he had a jury verdict saying that he was the trustee and he had full rights and capacity. Okay? Do you agree with that, Jeremiah? Do you accept that as a fact?
Yeah.
So I can move on. Okay.
I do.
If you accept that, then the red marble is the jury verdict. Now, the 5 yellow marbles, right? I'm only going to give you 1 yellow marble. So the second yellow, it's 1 red and 1 yellow. And the yellow marble, which is the most important yellow, I believe, is capacity of the mother. You know, there was an allegation of lack of capacity. Now, I know that sounds odd. You know, why don't you just say that she had capacity? Because it doesn't work that way in law. The term is lack of capacity. And the determination of lack of capacity has to happen by a judge. You are deemed to have capacity until capacity is deemed to not exist by a judge. You have to have a judge's order. They did never have that. They never proved that the mother was a harm to self and others. Now,
okay.
These are the red and the yellow. So now, as we bring people in, because we have a date, we're going to trial. This date is February 18th. We're going to go to trial. We're trial ready, I believe. This hearing is a hearing where Jeremiah needs to cut loose his attorney. Number one, the attorney took $8,500 and was basically throwing Jeremiah under a bus. I mean, frankly speaking, I don't mean to be funny, and it's not funny because he did absolutely nothing for the $8,500. Matter of fact, he told him that his jury verdict, he called it Wayne's World, meaning it's something out there, right? Wayne's World.
Right.
And he basically, and Roger Rabbit was like, wait up, this is the key piece of evidence. Why aren't you going to admit this? Oh, come on, man. He's like, give it up. You know, you don't know what you're doing. I'm an attorney. I'm in tight with the district attorney. I know how to handle this case. Not really. And it sounds like you're handling it for yourself, not for me. And he won't admit it. He won't admit the evidence. He calls it a joke. And it's the most important piece of evidence. It's the most important piece of evidence in the case. It's red. It's the red marble. Would you agree with that, Jeremiah?
Yes.
I mean, you're in a logical case. All I'm asking you to agree to is that when I prepare the joint trial statement, we've been working on this case for 2 years now, okay? I've been working with Roger Rabbit. I've heard the story, you know, and there's two things about Roger Rabbit. And I think this was pointed out by Kermit as the devil's advocate. He stated that there was emotional distortion. Okay? Emotional distortion. Do you follow?
Yeah.
There's an, you know, I mean, you can imagine why, Jeremiah, right? From your point of view, I mean, he's basically looking at jail time for taking his mother out of a locked facility that was hurting her. He didn't know what to do. He wants to take care of his mother. And by the way, the mother really enjoyed being with the trustee. The mother enjoyed and really disliked, this is a fact that we'll bring into evidence at trial, that the princess was disliked by the mother. Very important fact. The princess was disliked.
Do you have something that proves that fact?
Okay. Thank you. You know what? This is a sticky wicket. You know? It's not an easy one to prove. The fact of the matter is, the mother stated that she hated the princess. She wanted the princess not to come near her. But the princess stated that the mother was having capacity issues, so therefore she got a fiduciary, and she gave the guardian full rights. The guardian stepped in and says, well, I could use another account at $10,000 a month. You know what? As long as I'm making $10,000 a month and you've got over, you know, $2 million in the case, well, you know what? I could... At $10,000 a month, I could pretty much, you know, get a good portion of that equity. So he took the case. At that point, he deems Roger, so she basically had a guardian step in. This was the person, this was the reason to get a guardian. She demanded a guardian.
Okay.
On that basis, that was the basis, that the princess was disliked by the mother, so she wanted a guardian. So now, the devil's advocate point of view is raising a cause of action here, that we may not be able to bring this evidence in. Because, why? It's difficult evidence.
Yeah, if you can't prove it, don't add it in.
Yeah. Well, this could be a yellow marble. It could be one of the yellow. It could be a yellow marble. Because this could be yellow, and it could be one of the five. I would say that this is an important factor, because if you prove the red, if you prove that the jury verdict is correct, then it's proper, then it would stand to reason that the yellow would come through just as a matter of fact. This could be proven by the red, and it supports the red. Now, do you see how the relevance is, Jeremiah? You see the relevance?
Do I see how? Can you repeat that, please?
I mean, okay, the question is this. It's a question of law as to relevance. That the mother disliked the princess, and therefore the princess demanded guardianship. That's a fact. The princess demanded guardianship is a fact. No one can argue the fact that the princess filed in court so that she can get a guardian, and the guardian took over and then acted against her brother, Roger Rabbit. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Can we admit it as a fact? Okay. The problem with this yellow is that this one is hard to prove. You're not going to have an easy time admitting the fact that the princess was disliked by the mother, because the princess alleged that the mother had Alzheimer's based on that statement. But you cannot base capacity on an allegation by someone. But the judge and the guardian and the princess and the bear all agree that they agree with that fact. And that's a highly contested fact.
Okay.
Would you agree with that, Jeremiah?
Is that it's going to be problem? Yes.
Yeah.
That it's going to be a problem, yes.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. You have to admit facts. One of the jobs of being the judge or the sovereign person, because the judge is a sovereign person, and the judge basically admits evidence. So prior to admitting this evidence, we would have to try to substantiate it. And I don't think this is well substantiated. The fact that the princess was disliked by the mother is going to be hard to prove, and it really doesn't add that much value to the cause of action. But we do have two pieces of evidence in the case that are very significant. And, you know, the jury verdict is one, and the capacity, the implied capacity, is the second. You don't need much more. The reality is you can develop your whole case on two pieces of evidence. Would you agree with that, Jeremiah, as the judge?
Yes.
Because there's a thought, generally, by pro se litigants, that you have to tell a big, big story. You gotta come up with a long-winded story with tons and tons and tons of information, and you gotta basically, somehow, right, tell a story. But I'll tell you this. The fact is, these two pieces of evidence are sufficient, and I'm going to add four more, okay? But we haven't gotten there yet because we're putting together the joint trial statement, and we're going to trial. Now, prior, his counsel, we can call him Snidely Whiplash, you know, or Dastardly Dan, because there are two of them at the office. Snidely Whiplash and Dastardly Dan, you know, they really aren't helping Roger Rabbit at all. I mean, when you look at what they've done, they've hurt Roger Rabbit's case. They make Roger Rabbit look like he's a scared rabbit, and everybody's just shooting at him, you know? They're trying to kill Roger Rabbit out there, you know?
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, yeah, it's just one thing they always do. They always try to create a narrative about the situation and try to guide it in that narrative.
Yes.
So Roger Rabbit is being framed up by a bias put in place for conflicts of interest.
Yeah, that's it. You know, the narrative, I think, would be called parallel construction, right?
Yep.
I mean,
yeah, that's just how the narrative is put together, but the narrative fits a bias due to conflict of interest.
Yeah, you're right. There is a conflict of interest. The bear has a conflict of interest with the person.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the bear has, you know, prosecutorial immunity.
And you know, the bear also has a conflict of interest with the law.
Yes. But there is prosecutorial immunity. You know,
there is
he has charging discretion. He can charge or
mm-hmm.
not charge.
Mm-hmm.
He has judicial immunity. And he has prosecutorial immunity. I mean, if he has a tight-knit connection with the judge, there's going to be severe abuse of process.
Yeah. In fact, that's the only way the process will go.
Right. Yeah. And I think this narrative that you're talking about, you know, they did create a story.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this story made it in the news, so, you know, it's confidential, but it did make it in the news. I mean, they were hunting him down,
mm-hmm.
and they knew where he was. They had his phone number, but they made it look like he was on the run. Big manhunt, tons of cars, SWAT teams, helicopter. For what? They had his phone number.
Mm-hmm.
They had a make, model, and car. They had his phone number. They were even pinging him. They could even tell because they even stated that they were pinging his cell phone number. So they had put a trace on his cell phone. So they knew exactly where he was. What's the purpose for the SWAT team and the helicopter and, you know, tasing him and all that stuff? And then putting him in jail for 2 weeks and then holding him until extradition was done and then waiting a week and a half thereafter just so he can keep him in jail longer.
He's in a trap, entrapped.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like a horrible nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible nightmare.
Well, yeah, you know, in the Ponzi's mind, there's a financial motivation. In Roger Rabbit's mind, he just wants to see his mother have a timely death, and you know, he wants to be there for her.
Yeah. And by the way, interestingly enough, the way it turns out, the mother was doing better with him. And then when she goes back into another facility, they didn't even put her back in the same facility. The original facility that called on him refused to take her back because they knew what they did was wrong. So they put her in another facility, and then they basically restricted Roger Rabbit from even talking to her.
You know, premonition, you know, I don't know this much about Roger Rabbit, but premonition is that the Ponzi, when you don't agree with the Ponzi, it must be a mental illness. Now Roger Rabbit must be mentally ill.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
and
they did,
you know, claim him to be mentally unstable, and that's why they were tasing him and the SWAT team and all that, they were saying to the out-of-state police department that did the extradition that he was armed and dangerous. They were expecting gunfire when they came to the door. They didn't find gunfire. All they found was taking care of his mother.
You know what they're saying when they make that phone call is they're saying, hey, how about you shoot Roger Rabbit for us?
Could be.
He's armed and dangerous.
Yeah, could be. I mean, anything could have happened at that point. He didn't resist arrest. Mm-hmm. Why tase him?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you subdue him like that? Why, you know, why subject him to all of this? They had the phone number, and that's the other thing. Why not just give him a call? You know, why not just give him a call? He had basically written a rental contract. He had gone to the post office, changed his name, changed his address. He went to the Social Security Administration office, showed them the jury verdict, and they switched everything over to the new state. He was a resident. He was a resident of another state. He was an out-of-state resident.
Yeah, they took in persona jurisdiction over him. Nebraska. The state of Nebraska. He took in persona jurisdiction over him.
And here's the thing. We want to change the location and change the name because I don't think it's necessary right now for someone who's interested in coming into the case to actually know the actual sovereign person, Roger Rabbit, so who that person is and what state it is and what police department it is because there's just too much confidential information. There's not a need to disclose that information at this time.
No.
Not at this time. I don't think there's a need at this time to disclose that information.
No.
Would you feel, there's a need to disclose that information?
We don't have to use the state of Nebraska. We could just use the state.
Yeah. And do you feel that we need to disclose the actual person or the actual state, Jeremiah?
No, I don't feel like we have to. You know, this show is about Who Framed Roger Rabbit, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And Roger Rabbit is a legal fiction. You know, he had a jury verdict. So, you know, it's good to do things in legal fiction for confidentiality because when someone is going to testify in a case, they don't need to know the case. They need to know the procedure, and they need to review the forensic analysis, and they need to review the amicus curiae brief, which I would write, and then they need to make their own conclusion based on the facts that are presented. And I'm going to present the facts. These are all facts that were never presented in court by Dastardly Dan or Snide and Whiplash. Both attorneys received money. They said they were going to represent their client, but then for one reason or another would not present the key evidence in the case. Jeremiah, why do you think that is?
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
Okay. Snidely Whiplash and Dastardly Dan are the attorneys that took the case.
Okay.
They received $8,500. They said, well, we'll take you to trial, and then we'll drop you off at the trial steps. We'll take you off the trial. And then after trial, you got to do it yourself, or you got to get an attorney or something like that. Anyway, they took the case on that basis and did absolutely nothing other than to withhold the most critical evidence in the case. Why? Why would that happen? Why would an attorney do that? Does that make sense to you?
No, it doesn't. Other than they've gotten comfortable being paid no matter what their outcome is.
Well,
is my personal opinion on that.
I believe that the attorney had a conflict of interest.
Okay.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I believe that that attorney had a conflict of interest before he took the case, or she took the case.
Yeah.
Right.
I would agree with that. Before taking the case. By the way, I worked with Roger Rabbit for a long time, you know, and I told him that. I said, when you look at the circumstance of the case and you see the level of corruption, any attorney that sees that has to heed the warning of the judge that if you expose the corruption, this is political suicide for you. You'll lose your license. You'll be flipping burgers at McDonald's, asking clients if they need fries with that order. You won't be a judge anymore, or you won't be a lawyer anymore. That's the truth. Wouldn't you agree?
In the real...
Yes.
The real attorney would have dropped the case. He would have not taken the case.
You're right. If you had an honest attorney, they would say, no, I'm not going to take that case. I'm not going to jump into that corruption. Because if I do jump into the corruption, then most likely I'm going to have to take you down. And that's just the reality of the matter. I don't mean to be cruel, and I don't mean to be unkind or impolite, but the reality is the attorney that takes the case. Now, at the present time, Snidely Whiplash and Dastardly Dan refuse to take off the case. Why do you think that is, Jeremiah?
If I could say one more thing real quick, is a judge will do the same thing. An honest judge will recuse themselves from the case, and a corrupt judge will stay on the case and want to stay on the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good old point network.
Just like an attorney. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree when they act that way.
Yeah. I mean, if the judge is in on it, the attorneys are in on it,
mm-hmm.
the state bar will support it as long as the judges and the attorney got together.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Dan and Snidely Whiplash, I'll tell you, they have no interest in bucking the system. It was evident from their the way they handled the case, it was clear that they had no intention of ever presenting any evidence, doing anything. It was very clear.
Yeah.
Very, very clear. It didn't require much information, did not require much of anything to understand this. Now, Roger Rabbit feels very uncomfortable, even though he knows. I mean, I've been telling him for a couple of years, you know, ever since he's been in the guardianship and all that, that none of the attorneys are going to jump in on this. And he said he didn't know what to do, but he had to do something. And he did realize that, no, none of them would go buck the system. They played along. They
mm-hmm.
kind of... the fence. They made it look like they were interested in helping at some point, maybe down the road, but no, we're not going to present that evidence. No, the jury verdict, that's called Wayne's World. You know, this is crazy. Don't bring me this nonsense jury verdict.
We can't add that back into evidence. It's the statute of limitation on evidence is up. What can I say?
Yeah, that's the limitation. I mean, they give 101 reasons why they can't admit that piece of evidence. And they go on and on.
Oh, judicial notice? What's judicial notice? I wouldn't know how to actually get that into court.
Yeah, actually, in Kermit's own case, I just found this out. He turned in a request for judicial notice, and the judge sanctioned him $5,000 for submitting a notice of a critical issue in his case. He goes, well, how do you do this? He goes, well, that's not the way to do it. You better go get an attorney. And they keep telling him, you have to get an attorney. I mean, I've listened to some of the calls, and they keep telling him, you got to get an attorney. And I'm like,
why are you an attorney? I don't see why you don't get an attorney.
Yeah, I don't see why you don't get an attorney. I just don't see why you don't get an attorney.
Attorney, yeah.
But, you know, you're trying to get, Jeremiah, you're trying to get rid of your attorney, right? They won't let him go.
Yeah, no. No, they deem you, the courts deem you incompetent to stand in front of the court. But the person that is competent to stand in front of your court is acting in an incompetent manner, and there's nothing you can do
right.
about it.
Hands are still tied.
Yeah.
And no voice. Hands are still tied, and there's no voice.
I didn't hear that. But can you repeat it?
My hands are in a situation like that where, like what Brent just said, your hands are still tied and you have no voice.
Okay. Your hands are tied and you have no voice. That's exactly true. When you have an attorney, your hands are tied and you have no voice. Now, at the present time, Roger Rabbit, his hands are tied, and he has no voice. He's going to trial. On February 18th, they're going to set it for trial. We need declaratory witnesses to jump in as quickly as possible. Because if someone were to help, right, Roger Rabbit, I'm sure Roger Rabbit would help that person. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Roger Rabbit. Would be the sovereign. The sovereign person, right? Because once he becomes the attorney in fact, he rules our organization, right? I mean, he manages our organization, right? You're doing the marketing, Jeremiah. Devil's Advocate is moving the red marble. I'm providing the five yellow marbles. I mean, we're all doing our part. But Roger Rabbit becomes the person who's going to go in front of a judge, and he's going to actually speak to the judge. The judge is going to consider him the attorney, in fact. And for all practical purposes, he is the person who we must support. So within our organization, he would be, I guess, the CEO or the president or whatever you want to call. But it is an organization. And there is a high degree of confidentiality here. You know, what happens in the green room stays in the green room. Remember the Shawshank Redemption? What happens on the green mile stays on the green mile. Well, we have the green room, and what happens in the green room is confidential. You follow what I'm saying, Jeremiah?
Yes.
It's confidential. Like in your case, it's confidential. If someone doesn't need to know it, don't give it to them. They probably don't want to know about it anyway. The fact of the matter is, the contaminated honey doesn't solve your case. By the way, there's 10,000, 20,000 pages of documents here. You know, if you want to testify in this case, do you really want to be exposed to that much contaminated honey? You know, getting that much information what would you need it for? I mean, the reality is only one piece of evidence is necessary to prove the point. There is a jury verdict. There is a jury verdict that was overlooked. That's it. There's nothing more. And then on top of that, she was deemed to have a lack of capacity. But this allegation was not proper. Now, there's other facts, but these facts are sufficient for now. And I can tell you that Roger Rabbit, from a technical point of view, he was a fireman for 30 years. So from a technical point of view, he knows how to manage himself in court. He knows the law. He knows how to apply law. Would you agree with that, Kermit?
I would, yes.
No. I mean, from a technical capacity point of view, I could operate under moot court rules with him. I ask him questions, and he's answered every single question I've asked. Now, I've interviewed nearly 2,000 people over 8 years, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of people, you ask them a simple question, they can never answer one question. Not one. I've had clients who you even work with them for months, and they never answer basic questions. Basic question, is there a conspiracy that exists in your case? I can't figure this out. I can't prove it. Well, that's not the answer. Is there a conspiracy or not? Is the judge in on it?
Yes.
If the judge is in on it, then we've got a different matter. If the judge is in on it, then forget it. You're not going to get anywhere in that courtroom. You've got to take it out. Take it out of the local corrupt state. I mean, in this particular case, in this little town of White Plains, New York, and the town of Nebraska, where he took her to. Well, I can tell you this, that for certain, this particular area, this venue, is hostile to Roger Rabbit. The bear has connections up to the mayor, the DA, the judge, can get everything pushed through very easily. Roger Rabbit's not going to see any justice in this particular courtroom. If we don't get this out using a Title 28 U.S. Code Section 1443 removal jurisdiction to Washington District of Columbia on the basis of a civil rights violation, Section 1983, Title 42. There is no way there's going to be any success in this case if we do not move it into the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. And that is where a civil rights violation has its natural court. The natural court for a civil rights violation is Washington, D.C. And that is why the Department of Justice is based there. If you have an issue, contact the Civil Litigation Unit in the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., and as part of the DOJ, look for the Civil Litigation Unit and file a complaint. But they're going to require that it be widespread. They're not going to want a case unless you can prove that it's happening to many different people. When it starts to be something that's widespread, the Department of Justice could get involved. But other than that, they're going to leave you to your vices in the District of Columbia. That's an option. You could also go federal, but it's a Section 1441. You could take it to the federal court. I know one case in San Francisco that seems to be doing okay. You reviewed those notes, Kermit, right? For the case?
Yes.
The one,
yes.
It seemed to me, what Kermit told me was hey, Chaco, this looks like a story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It just, the initial pleading. But, you know, when we got the memorandum, there was memorandum, and it was decent.
Mm-hmm.
Decent. But, you know, the person who hired an attorney in this case, and I think the attorney was doing a good job, actually. I don't think this attorney was like Snipe, Whiplash, and Dastardly Dan. This attorney actually was maybe trying to do something, you know. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know why she chose the federal court as opposed to, maybe it's because she didn't want to travel. She wanted the federal court, which was by her house, and figured, you know, it's better to use a local court rather than go all the way to Washington, D.C. And then if he has to fly over there, it's a higher cost and stuff like that. But if you get your case open in Washington, D.C., you can conduct most of your hearings without ever attending anything. And if the case is moved to Washington, D.C., I think there's a better chance. The corrupt court in the local district will not provide any relief. Injunctive relief, declaratory relief, monetary relief.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they won't provide you with even the most critical piece of evidence. You can't even hire an attorney and pay them $8,500 to present the most basic piece of evidence, a jury verdict. I have a jury verdict. This is why I took my mother out of the facility. I talked to everybody. I submitted it to the Social Security Administration and the IRS and the, you know, all of the basic groups. And essentially, the person who was the marketing manager at the facility even waved as he was leaving. And then called the police. So he waved at him and then called the police and said, hey, we have a kidnapping. So, I mean, that's okay, that's a point. As a devil's advocate, you know what, that is a point. Unfortunately, it was seen by one of the witnesses, and the other witness is a confidential informant. So, you know, we have a 30-year police veteran who's going to deny, deny, deny. And we have another person who they're charging also.
Who's going
to
do what?
They're threatening the other person too. There were three of them when they moved, when they took the mother out of the facility. There was a 30-year veteran cop who was retired, and then there was another person, and then there was Roger Rabbit. The marketing manager was waving at them, and then after they left, claimed that it was a kidnapping. Now, the problem is that particular fact is even harder to prove. So, you know, I'm just going to say that it did happen as collateral evidence, but I'm not admitting it as evidence into the case because it's going to be extremely hard to prove. And everybody's going to deny, deny, deny. And the 30-year cop who was, you know, retired is definitely going to say, no, that's not the case. He said, Roger Rabbit deceived me. He said he was deceived by Roger Rabbit. I don't think he was deceived. I think he knew what was going on. They gave him this thing saying, hey, just deny the jury verdict ever exists, and we'll let you off the hook, and we'll put everything on Roger Rabbit. And that's what they're doing. They're going after Roger Rabbit. For what? It doesn't make any sense. But they make him out to be, you know, a raving lunatic and a killer, you know? So this
he doesn't think like the Ponzi, he must be mentally ill.
Right. If he doesn't agree with the Ponzi, then he must be mentally ill, you know.
Obviously he is. We got a whole team full of professional Ponzi. We got a whole team full of professional Ponzi's, and we could throw at you, you know, to make you.
That's correct.
You can do a real, real good job of, you know, proving you're insane.
Yes.
So,
I agree.
Jeremiah, as the person who's basically evaluating this presentation so far, what are your thoughts?
It happens every day, multiple times, and across the nation. Just like that, if you don't agree. The local courts are so corrupt that they have you an attorney already picked out before you get to court. I agree with the last statement. If you don't agree with the Ponzi, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
I agree with what you're saying. I agree with everything that you're saying, and it does lay out just like that.
Now, what's your evaluation of Roger Rabbit's case specifically? You know, I'd like, if you have any specifics or any issues specifically about Roger Rabbit's case. I mean, let's say I were to ask you to, you know, help me to bring people in, you know? Like, we have a new candidate that you're going to help me with who, you know, she's just getting involved in the program. And, you know, obviously she doesn't know what all of this is. And, you know, there's been some feedback, right? I think that recent feedback regarding the marijuana suppository. Someone said that this process, like a... I was a little bit taken back, you know. When I first heard the comment, I was taken a little bit back about the marijuana suppository. But the person did, you know, review. The person who said that was an advocate that I knew, you know, and I'm friends with. And, you know, I respect that advocate's opinion. And, you know, when I stated that there was 100% success and that this process would be 3 years and $30,000, because when you think about it, those numbers, to get this kind of success in a case like this, you are looking at about 3 years and $30,000. I mean, you may not want to go the whole way, or you may want to just move the marble a few times, but to really go through everything in a case like this, you are realistically looking at 3 years and $30,000. So this advocate, you know, basically, you know, put a picture of a marijuana suppository and said, well, this is what I think of the process. Now, at first I was taken back a little bit, but when you think about it, it's actually funny. It was kind of press, number one. And I don't think it was said in a mean-spirited way. It was maybe constructive criticism. I mean, it could have been viewed as constructive criticism, right?
Yeah, I believe that. It's crazy that we even have to go through something like that.
What's that?
This process. It's crazy that we even have to go through this process to come to some sort of justice in the end.
I mean, we've been working together for some time now, maybe over a couple of years. I mean, you followed what used to be called the broken chair petition, right? It's not broken anymore.
Yes.
It's 100% success. It's fixed. When Kermit came on board as a devil's advocate, you know, he kind of showed me the drunken monkey pole technique, and I didn't know what it was. And then I started listening to it in a green room, and I'm like, well, you know, you should do things this way and this. And he goes, no, I'm actually, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm doing this specifically to, you know, put them off guard. And see, she was off guard, and see how she started talking? I'm like, yeah, you're right. And then he started pointing out, well, there was a boxer that used this kind of technique, and he was not very well rated, and the producers didn't really like him, but the people liked him. and he was excellent to watch, but he kind of fought like a drunken monkey, you know? He had a lot of moves that were odd. People couldn't figure out why he was doing them, but they worked. It actually deceived the opposing side into thinking that you're, well, pro se, right? I mean, they already think of us as pro se. I mean, let's face it. When we walk into court, right, any one of us, we walk into court, the first thing they see is a pro se litigant, fresh meat, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the look? I mean, isn't it the look that they give us is, well, you guys are fresh meat, you know? Nothing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I want to take a break and then come right back to it. We're going to listen to Brandon Lee Letts out of Flint, Michigan. And then we'll come right back after the song.
Was taken with lies, CPS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids was kidnapped, here goes all for the cash, a foster kid, childbirth, man, this shit is all bad. My kids was kidnapped, here goes all for the cash, my kids was kidnapped, here goes all for the cash, my kids was kidnapped. They was taken with lies.
It started with the way I looked, progressed to how I carried it. They couldn't stand a man like me could understand what marriage is. Provided for my wife and kids the way that I inherited. Mama raised a man who don't know nothing but genetics. How can they just come and take what's mine and I ain't going to check? Never had a CPS, still my life is stripped away. Fighting for my life, the parents, I got tattoos on my face. See through all your bullshit, I'll be the one you love to hate. Fucking motherfucker, die, you lying, taking people. Breaking up a happy home, cause y'all don't like the way we live. Long as we provide no abuse, then y'all should mind your business. We're fucking up our rights to live, you motherfuckers. No, you just tired, I can take your motherfucker. I'm a bear with all lawyers, they appointed me. Never even took my call, they falsified my court string. Flat out lying at it all. All this shit is covered for, but they ain't gotta follow law.
Kidnapped, they was taken with lies. DPS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids are kidnapped. It was all for the cash, of course the kids, childbirth, man, this shit is all bad, my kids was kidnapped, they was taken with lies, CBS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives, my kids was kidnapped, it was all for the cash, of course the kids, childbirth, man, this shit is all bad, my kids was kidnapped, they was taken with lies, CBS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives, my kids was kidnapped. It was all for the cash, of course the kid, child bring, man, this shit is all bad, my kids are getting mad.
Come on, tell me, do y'all feel my pain? Watch my wife cry herself to sleep, and I can't do a thing. On the verge of losing it, swear I'm about to go insane. Praying that I have the strength to make it through another day. Can't begin to understand all the shit my kids go through. The pain they feel or what they think for real is all they've been through. Snatch away, place your friends and broke me when I heard the news. Rotting in a prison cell, shit that I ain't even do. The fight is real, we won't stop, but all the kids are coming home. Playing games so they ain't know the game, I'm with the king of thrones. Lawyered up, got a pitiful picture, now this shit is on. Need to take my family back and trust me, we don't stand alone. Yes, you're here for everyone, we go with what we're going through. Be a voice for all of y'all, the pain I feel it too. Ditches for all the conversations, pushing hard to make it new. All the tricks, y'all, never hope, damn, it's one for you, kid, yeah.
You know, I ain't the only one that's going through this shit. There's a million other people like me in every city, every state, all across this fucking nation. These people are kidnapping our kids, this foster care shit. Man, motherfuckers need to get it together and go up against this shit before it's too late. If it can happen to me, it can happen to you. You guys probably know somebody that's going through this shit, man. Y'all gotta stick together. If we stand together, we can end all this bullshit, man. I'm telling you, kidnapped.
Welcome back to the show, and we're at the latter part of the segment. So, are you there, Kermit, Jeremiah?
Yes.
Okay. So, what we're trying to do is get people together. Get people together so that we can testify for each other. We can testify on each other's behalf. In doing so, I think that we're going to have the ability to amplify our voice through a reasonable person. You know, if I testify for Roger Rabbit, Kermit testifies for Roger Rabbit, and then we have Jeremiah testifies for Roger Rabbit. And by doing so, we amplify our voice. But how do we get people to come in and testify for each other? How do we produce this, well, system, right? Because it's somewhat like, you know, the Viking mentality. You're outlaws. In a lot of ways, you know, the system, you can't beat it. There's no beating the system. Once the princess got in touch with the bear and the bear used the prosecutorial and judicial immunity, there's no stopping what the bear can do. Bear is unstoppable. You can't win against the bear. It's almost, I believe, impossible in many cases.
Yep.
I just don't see, I don't see how we will compete against there with a prosecutorial immunity, judicial immunity. Just don't see how it would happen. Not in the corrupt local court. It's obvious with Roger Rabbit case that no attorney will even take it. I mean, if you even tried to hire an attorney, there's no... They got Roger Rabbit to a point where, you know, he was doing very well financially, but now he's month to month, like everybody else that's been subject to this for years.
Yeah, once they start sanctioning him, too, they'll go on the credit.
Yeah, and most likely, you know, I need to talk about Roger Rabbit because, yeah, they're going to go after him for sanctions, too.
Mm-hmm.
I see that they're going to do all the tricks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you saw those tricks, didn't you, Jeremiah?
Yes. They punish with, they don't hold any punches at all. And they go after everything.
You're right. I just see that this is the best option for Roger Rabbit at this time. That moving his case to the District of Columbia, not